So this morning, we are all anticipating what this week is going to bring. And as we've already talked about, as we've sang about, and I really got to hand it to Dan. Thank you for all the songs about thanks. And we talked about that, you know, this week, and coordinating the sermon and the worship and all of that. And it was, I don't know if we sang every song the book has to offer, but we sang most of them. And I hope we understand that today is about that idea of thanks and the idea of thankfulness and thanksgiving, because Thursday's going to happen and we're going to have all these giant meals and we're all going to watch football and maybe not everybody, but because somebody's got to clean up the kitchen while somebody, you know, takes a nap and dozes and watches the game and, you know, all that. But anyway, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a great day Thursday, and maybe some people are going to start on Wednesday, and then it'll pile into Friday and Saturday, because as we go and we have Thanksgiving dinner at this house, then we got to go to Aunt Mabel's, and then we got to go see Mom and them and all that. And just, it's going to be just almost a week of thanks, of Thanksgiving, and a week of eating. And, we're going to have just a huge spread of food. And I always wonder, as my oldest son reminded me, he said, it's got to be weird as we kind of describe our eating habits and patterns to, you know, someone in like a third world country. And we try to explain appetizers to them. And they say, no, that's the food we eat before we eat our food. And then, oh, you're getting that confused with dessert, because that's the food we eat after we eat our food. But to say the least, we're blessed. To say the least, we have it made. I mean, don't we? I mean, amen, we have it made. And so today we want to talk about this idea of thankful for the madeness of what we have it, of the bounty, the blessings, the just insane amount of comfort that we have. And so I want to talk about, what does it mean? You know, it's one thing to have the fall setting in the barn with the pumpkins, which I took this picture, by the way, with my kids a couple of years ago at that granddaddy's farm. And on Wednesday when I tested it out in here, apparently it wasn't as bright, but that's really calm and serene, beautiful, this kind of year type setting. You know, that's what we think about at Thanksgiving. The barns that none of us probably have, except for maybe Al and a couple others. And, you know, the pumpkins that we all grow and the majesty of that. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be thankful? I mean, we talk about that and we say thank you, and we sing about thankfulness and thanks be to God. But what does that mean? What does it look like to be thankful? Because it's got to be more than just words, doesn't it? It's got to be more than just something you say after you receive something from someone, or some more than something that you say after somebody does something for you. I mean, you know, isn't that what we tell our kids when somebody gives them something or they do something? They say, what do you say? Yeah, I mean, Hyatt, what do you say? Yeah, we say, see, they know. He didn't. He was not even listening. But when you hear, what do you say? It's either please or thank you. It's one of the two. Good job. This time of year, he chose the right one. I mean, isn't that what we tell our kids? What do you say? Thank you. You know, thank you. What does that mean? What does that look like? I want to look at some scriptures. The first one, Psalm 28:7, it says, the Lord is my strength, my shield. My heart trusts in him. My heart leaps with joy for the Lord. I will give thanks to him in song. So the Bible, if we want to be Bible people and biblical people, maybe we should thank you, because that's in song, right? I will give thanks in song. Is that what he's, that's not what he means, but there's an idea behind the singing unto the Lord. I will give thanks to him. It says my heart, you know, understanding the Lord is my strength. He is my shield. My heart leaps with joy. I will thank him in song. And in Psalm 69:30, I will praise God's name with song. I will glorify him. Remember that. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, there's this idea of thanksgiving and thankfulness and thanks being wrapped up and tied together with God. And in Psalm 95, 1 through 6, come, let us sing to joy for the Lord. Let us bow down. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving. Let us extol. Let us praise Him with song and with music. This idea of thanks all throughout Scripture is thanks be for who God is and what God does and that He is and that He does. And this idea of thanks is so wholly tied to God. And in Hebrews 12 and 28, since we are receiving a kingdom. I love this passage. This is a challenging passage. He says all of Hebrews, you know, there's a lot of Hebrews that comes before chapter 12, and it's talking about persecution, and it's talking about bad times, and it's talking about people choosing to walk away from their faith and choosing to leave God because of all that's going on. And he says all of these things about encouraging, and let us meet together and don't give up on that. Let us encourage one another all the more as we're even persecuted more and more. And then he gets to almost the end of the book, and he says, since we are being given a kingdom that is unshakable, let us thank God. Let us thank Him. Let us be so thankful and thus worship Him acceptably with reverence and awe. I love when we're talking about worshiping God acceptably, what the Bible says that looks like. Not what we have deduced that it looks like, but it says worship, acceptable worship is with reverence and in awe because of this unshakable kingdom that He is giving us, that has been given, and He is in fact still giving. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Talk about a challenging scripture. It says, so this idea of what it means to be thankful, it's all wrapped up and tied up and tangled up. Somebody write that down. That'd be a good song for kids. Wrapped up. It's all wrapped up and tied up. It's tangled up. It's just incorporated completely with God because of God. And I will, thanks be to God. I will praise Him. I will sing to Him. I will worship Him because of this kingdom that is unshakable, because of His merciful love for me. In all circumstances, that's God's will for us. That's what the rest of that passage says. That is God's will for us. So does that help us understand what does it mean to be thankful? I don't know, because it's still kind of just this word. Because, I mean, over and over, thanks be to God. Well, okay, what does that mean, thanks be to God? So does I will worship Him. I will sing to Him. I will sing about Him. I will praise Him. I will be reverent and in awe of Him. I don't know if there's one phrase I can give you that says, because as I've thought about this for months, because I'll tell you, there's a couple of sermons that are hard for me to do. You know, Mother's Day is tough. Everybody knows it's coming. You've heard 1,000 Mother's Day sermons. Thanksgiving's another one. Christmas are hard too. We've heard them all. We've heard them all. And so as I think about this starting, you know, like the beginning of August, all right, what am I going to have? You know, I'm excited about the turkey, but that sermon, I can't come up with a phrase that, what does it mean to be thankful? You know, I thought, well, okay, does it mean, you know, how do I deal with my kids in this? All right, because that's a default for us. All right, what do you say? You know, say thank you. All right, well, that just isn't enough. I mean, you give them something. What does it mean when my kids are thankful? Does it mean that they take really good care of it? Well, if that's the case, they've never been thankful for anything in their lives. And me either, for that matter, when I was a kid. What does that mean? Does it mean that I take really good care of that? I save it, that I savor it. But no, because that doesn't seem quite right either. Because you know, I want them to, the things that I give them, I want them to use them. I want them to wear them out. I want them to, you know, if I give them a pair of shoes and in 6 months those shoes are brand new because they've been in the box, does that mean that they were thankful for them? Or in 6 months later when there's holes all in them, I say, you don't take care of anything. They can't win. So what does that mean to be thankful? To say thank you. To mean thank you. I think it's more than just being glad that we have something. I think it's more than just being glad that, you know, feeling relieved that someone did something for us, and or feeling somewhat special because maybe something was done for us or we have something that others don't. I mean, isn't that so much of what we talk about? We're thankful, God, that we have this because we know that there are so many that don't have this. See, there's so much to this thankfulness. It's more than just a word. It's more than just an appreciation, a feeling entitled or a feeling special because of or holding on to and taking care of and being a good steward of something, because I'm not even sure what that means either. What is it? Why? Why does God say, be thankful? Why is this idea of thankfulness? Why be thankful? I mean, if it's hard for us to wrap our mind around what it looks like to be thankful, because it could be different things. I mean, for some people, for them, being thankful is having what they have and then giving it all away to those who don't have that. You know, thank you, God, here, y'all have this. For others, being thankful is just saying, I don't know what it looks like, but why do we do it? I think that's the wisdom that I've found for my life over the last couple of months in chewing on this idea is why? I can't, you know, I haven't been able to wrap my mind around what it particularly looks like to be thankful, and I've tried. And so I know in 30 minutes I'm not going to, or 20 or however long I'm going to talk this morning, I don't even know, but I just can't boil it down, distill it down to this is what, if we do this, then we will have been thankful. Because to be honest with you, I haven't figured it out in a couple of months that I've been really worrying about this and studying about it and contemplating and since beginning of August. If you walk past my office during the day and I'm just sitting there like this, I'm not trying to remember where I put my keys. I'm probably been thinking about, what does it look like to be thankful? What does it look like to be thankful? And that's what I've been doing. Somebody said, we pay you to do that. Well, you did. And I didn't come up with anything. But I did come up with this. Why? First thing, why? Because it reminds us of what we have. Whether we know how to look thankful, whether we know how to act thanksgiving, whether we know how to, but to be thankful, there's one thing I have not been able to get away from, and that is that, you know, thanksgiving always generates a list, doesn't it? I mean, first and foremost, it generates a menu, which is a list. What are we going to eat? This year, I'm in charge of deep frying the turkey. Oh, I've been researching brines and injections. Ooh, it's going to be great. And if it's not, I'm going to be devastated. But that, you know, there's a list. You know, ooh, the turkey's at the top, and then ooh, a ham, and then there's this kind of pie, and there's that kind of pie. And you know, there's one thing that I've learned, being, you know, living back here for the last 7 years, is that there's one thing that draws lines in the sand among families and friends, that, you know, there's one thing that kind of rivals what college you root for, and that's what you want at Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, you know, there's pies that some people, oh, we gotta have that. Oh, I can't stand that. Oh, well, there's other dishes, you know, I'm not really sure what a yam is, but it's always gonna show up over there. And then there's that Jell-O mold that looks like it's got cat food in it, and you're just like, you know, what is that? But somebody, they're like, oh, the cat food Jell-O mold, I love that, you know. Somebody loves that, somebody can't stand it. And then there's that weird thing with the mushroom or the marshmallows and the Cool Whip and fruit that I always make my kid, oh yeah, you gotta have a little bit of that. Just to watch their face, like, oh, the texture. I mean, you know, there's things, there's that list. What's going to be there? What better be there? And the lumpy this, and it better not be lumpy. And, oh, we got to have it this way. But there's other lists at Thanksgiving, isn't there? There's the list of the things that we have that we're thankful. Let's go around the room and let's talk about what we're thankful for. And so, you know, it always starts with, oh, I'm thankful for this. And I'm thankful, you know, my family's up there. I'm thankful for my family. And, you know, and that might be on my list depending on what kind of a day we've had. You know, that they might be high, they might not be, but, you know, thank you for my stuff and my job and my cars and my home and the our freedom, all these lists that we make reminds us of what we have, what we list, what this time of year, what we list says a lot about us. I want us to think about that. I want us to be a people who don't just do it the way we've always done it, because the way we've always done it has got us to where we are, and it might not be a bad place, but to get us further, to get us where God wants us to be, to experience our God on a different level, a more open, broader view. I want us to be a people that think deeply and about our list. Matthew 6 and 19, Jesus talks about our list. He says, let me tell you something. You guys quickly fall in love with the stuff. I mean, you know, with the chairs and the carpet and the lights and the air conditioning and the vehicles and the, you know, I guess in their day it was the, you know, the donkeys and the whatever, you know, whatever they rode, whatever propelled them, you know, whatever vehicle they got. I mean, that was more important those days, as they are now. Jesus says, you guys get in, y'all fall deeply in love with the stuff. He says, but let me warn you. He says, don't stockpile stuff here where you know, corrosion erodes the value of, where people will be tempted to come and to take what you have to add to their pile. And so you will be honor and duty bound to guard with your life and at the expense of theirs, the stuff that you have stockpiled behind your walls. He says, don't do that, but because that is futile and that is that's labor intensive, and it's really worthless, and it's not going anywhere, and it'll end up in the end destroying you. But instead, stockpile heavenly things. Stockpile spiritual experiences. He says, you want to pile something up, pile up spiritual things, treasures that can only be measured and only be inventoried and only be protected in heaven. Because what you treasure, that's where your heart is. He says, what you guard, what you, you know, as I've chewed on this scripture for going on a month, what Jesus, I'm convinced what he's saying, what you stand as an armed guard over, that's where your heart is. That's where your heart is. That's what you're in love with. That's what you worship. Because that's what, remember all the list of scriptures I had up there, the Psalm 28 and the Psalm 69, and then all of those are talking about being thankful. And they're all talking about worship. See, what I will guard is what I worship. That's what Jesus says. It's not necessarily me. I struggle too. I have a fortress at 114 Jamestown where I'm guarding a pile of earth as well. And this Thanksgiving, I'm trying to be different. I'm trying to take on, as Philippians would say, the attitude, my attitude that should be that of Christ, a servant, someone who's not laying down his life for this world, not taking the life of someone who would dare break through, enter into my fortress and take my earth. But I want to be a person who would lay down his life for the kingdom. You see, thankful reminds us of what we have. And what I've been reminded of is what I'm typically thankful for is worthless. It's worthless. Because what I list has a lot of things. And I'll put my family up there. Not worthless. I'm getting to a point. Don't check out on me. What I put on my list outside of my family, Jesus didn't die for. The King of Kings didn't hang on a cross for all of the blessings that I would give or take life to protect. Reminds us of what we have. I need to be reminded of what I really have. Not what I stockpile, but what I have. I need to be reminded sometime that my treasures that are in heaven should be on that list. The next thing, why be thankful? Not only did it remind us of what we have, but it reminds us that we are given what we have. In John 3 and 27, there's John the Baptist says, What does a man have that he isn't given? What can a man receive that he isn't given? And this is a context where John has built this ministry. He's been persecuted. He's suffered. He's lived out in the woods and he's done all these things. And his disciples come to him and say, hey, you know that Jesus guy that you recognized and all that? Well, now he's talking and he's preaching and he's, you know, baptisms are happening over there and all of these people are going over there and you're about to be left with nothing. And John says, well, what can I have that I wasn't given? You know, there's a concept that I'm afraid that is lost this time of year, because when we say all the blessings that God has given, I'm afraid sometimes what I really mean is all of the stuff that I've worked really hard for. I mean, all of the things that I have I've done without in order to have these, and all of the opportunities that I passed up selflessly that I gave in order to do this, in order to have that. A man can only receive what is given to him. As we think about what we have, do we think about who it's given by? Now, it doesn't work if we just think about the earth. If we just think about the piles of earth that we stockpile, but the treasure, the heavenly treasures, and maybe that's why it's hard for us to list those, because we haven't been given any of those. Because in order to be given those, we have to receive them. We have to be looking for those. We have to put ourselves in a position to experience God. You see, who has the greatest? As I sit in that office and I listen to people and they come and they tell me about what's going on. You know who has the greatest God stories? You know the people that come and they say, man, this was going on and God showed up and just boom, I couldn't believe it. And I just sat there shaking. I had hair standing up because I saw the hand of God at work in a mighty way as he did. You know who has those stories? Single mothers and poor people and addicts and that are recovering. And I'm not saying let's all go be single mothers and I'm just saying that those who are in a position to receive from the Lord generally do. And those who are insulated, those who are more in control. You see, out of control people really recognize it when God shows up and brings some control and order. And then God is real and there's a spiritual experience and there's this testimony and there's a witness and all those other words that sometimes make us a little nervous. And you know, all of those, when we're in a position to need God, He shows up. But see, so much of my life, I've insulated against need. And I miss it. and I don't get anything because I'm not in a position to receive anything. Because what's God, I mean, come on, what's God going to save me from right now? I mean, what's God going to save most of us from right now? I mean, what's he going to, you know, how's he going to show up and just shake the foundation of the worry and the trouble and the, you know, what's he going to do? But the more that we're thankful, the more that we think about, you know, we make that list and we evaluate that list and we erase things off of that list and we look at, you know, the more that we'll realize we are, what we have, our blessings, our experiences, our treasures are given to us. Those God moments. I didn't concoct them. I didn't make them happen. God made them happen. And then we can start experiencing this thankful. The last thing that thankful, why be thankful? Not only does it have the power to change what's on that list, to amend what our desires and our treasures are, but and not only does it have, it tells us that the truly spiritual things, the true treasures that we have are only given to us by God, but it reminds us that we are given what we have for a reason. You see, we can never separate God's blessing from God's purpose. In Psalm 67, 1 and 2, it's a passage that, I tell you what, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to this passage. It's I have it underlined and made stars next to it and brackets around it. And if I could, this is a pivotal, huge, paramount passage. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us." And we love that part. I like that part. I want God to be gracious. I want Him to bless me. I want Him to bless me with the blessings as I define blessings to be. I want Him to continually financially bless me. I want Him to healthy-wise bless me with health. And I want Him to do all of these things. And the more that I study and the more that I meditate and pray on this, the more that I realize that those things are less blessings to us than what experiencing God could be. I mean, just think about this for a minute. You ever had a health scare? You ever had a scare where the health, I mean, let's just take it on a health thing. What did your prayer life look like during that health scare? Was it constant? Was it continual? Was it kind of like without ceasing? I mean, you know, you might pray a lot now. But you go to the doctor and they find a suspicious this or a suspicious that, then pray without ceasing takes on a whole. We don't distill that down to have a prayerful attitude. No, we're walking around talking to ourselves according to other people, but we know we're in constant prayer. Now your spiritual treasures and the blessings that you get spiritually during one of those moments, so much greater than when everything's fine. Ever go through a real hard time relationship-wise or family-wise or financially? Do you pray more? Do you experience God more? See, maybe it brings into light a little bit more that 1 Thessalonians, be thankful in all circumstances, even and maybe especially what we would define as the bad times, because that's when I get closer to God. That's when I get snuggled right on up next to God, and my relationship with Him is more real than it's ever been. I can see His face. I don't forget about Him as much in those times, even though on the outside, as Paul would say, you know, from the outside I'm troubled and I'm torn and all this. On the inside I've got more peace and I'm more than a conqueror and all that. Maybe that's what He's driving us at. And see, here he says, God be gracious to us and bless us. Make His face shine upon us that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation may be known among all nations. Thanksgiving, being thankful, is not as much about the blessings as it is about the God from whom all blessings flow. Thanksgiving is not so much about listing what we have, but falling on our faces in reverent awe of the one who provides that which cannot be taken. Who provides that which can only be given, and that we can only receive, and that which can never be taken away from us, those true spiritual treasures that are stockpiled and inventoried and labeled and protected in heaven, that we can only experience when we are truly dependent on God. And that makes us thankful for that God, and makes us receive those blessings, and makes us take those blessings into the world. I mean, the physical things He gives us are so that we will take those and introduce others to the grace of God. So that we will receive with gladness the mammon, the manna, the earthness, the all of that. And then we take those without putting them in the bank. We just take them directly over to someone who doesn't have, for whatever reason, don't know, don't care, and say, From God to me to you, this is the God of heaven and earth. But I did nothing to deserve this. I know, neither did I. This is the God of heaven and earth. But I can't pay. No, neither can I. This is from the God of heaven and earth. Tell me more about that God. I'd be glad to. And then you've experienced Him. They've experienced Him. No matter what happens to the stuff, that treasure never goes away. Let's be thankful for what only God can give us, because He truly gives it to us for His purpose and His alone. This morning, as we anticipate a marvelous, blessing-filled Thanksgiving, can we be a people who dig deeper into thanks? And it's more than a word. It's more than an understanding of taking care of being good steward. And it's a way of life in order to continually keep our eyes, our hearts, and our minds on God. Can we truly be thankful as together we stand and as we sing?